All right, heathens, let's go to work. Reprobates. If you got your Bibles, Brian, we need to have a long talk. Okay? If you got your Bibles, go to the letter written to the church, just like our church, Colossae. It's called Colossians. Find the red letters and turn right. And for those of you who are colorblind, go to the end and find the maps and turn left. Colossians. Colossians chapter 3. We started a few weeks ago reading this letter. This letter was written to folks just like us. It was a different language, yes. There was a different culture, yes. There was a different style of clothes and such. But these folks decided to follow Jesus. We made the same decision. These folks thanked God that Jesus rescued them from sin, rescued them from their debt to the law, and he disarmed the enemies. He disarmed the enemies and warned them not to let anybody rob them of their prize. It's just like us, folks. We rent a place probably like they did. They may have met in a home or a cave or a barn somewhere, just like us. They wanted to follow Jesus, and the outside of the things didn't matter. It was in their hearts, they wanted to follow Jesus, and I suspect that's kind of how we feel too, right? I want us to read the first few verses and let this direct our we always start with some time that we call casting our cares on the Lord. It's just the promise from the Lord is if you cast your cares on Him, He cares for us. So we're going to do that, but I want to direct it this way. He said, read chapter 3, verse 1. He said, Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things that are above. Now that's the start of it. So just underline that thought. Set your heart on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. So when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with Him in glory. A couple of things I want you to notice. The phrase is, set your heart, right? Set your minds on things that are above. Set your heart on things that are above. Those two phrases. Anytime God repeats Himself, it's for what reason? It's to get our attention. It's important. That's right. Now, don't set your mind on earthly things. And so this is how we're going to start today. Honest. Honest, honest, honest. If you had to pick one thing that your mind is set on or your heart is set on, most of the time it's an earthly thing. What is it about what goes on in your life, what goes on this earth that probably absorbs most of your thinking and most of your heart time and your mind time? What's the issue that keeps your attention the most? It may be a worry. It could be a temptation. It could be a struggle. It could be anything.
Making money.
Making money, how to make some. How to keep some, right? If you got teenagers, that's for sure, right? All right, so making money. Now, keep going.
Politics.
And man, it's especially when decisions are being made that you disagree with or you're concerned about. Boy, that'll absorb a lot of your time. What else?
Temptation and worry.
Okay, now, I don't want us to make this Sunday school type answers, and I'm not saying anybody had. I'm going to press you a little bit. I'm telling you that. I'm going to be mean to you. All right? So, Ruby, when you say worry, What's the worry? And we're all going to kick in on this. What are the things that cause you to worry? What do you spend most of your time worrying about?
My children.
Children, right? And the older they get, the closer they get to moving away, the more you worry that, man, I haven't taught them enough or haven't done right by them. And all, what am I going to do when they get away from here? And I suspect, well, I know, because I know you. There's only a couple of you I don't know real well. Some of you are worried sick about it because you think they're about to leave and they're already showing signs that when they get out away from me, they won't choose the path I've chosen for them, or they won't do the things I think they should do. And you worry about that a lot. What else causes you to worry? Where do you put your attention? Where does your mind focus? Attention within your family members.
Tension.
Problems within your family. What it's going to do to the family. And if you're the mama or the daddy, where's the problem there? You feel like you've got to settle. They want you to choose sides, right? And so you've got this one saying, well, he said this, and you got this one saying, she said that, and you're the one that's supposed to be making the decision. And if you feel like if you make the decision, if you say this is the way it's going to be or this is what I think, what's going to happen? Do you feel like the other person is going to not accept it and leave you? And you're going to be responsible again. What do you worry about? What is it that burns up a lot of our heart and emotion, mental time?
Paying the bills.
Yeah, just paying the bills. You know, we said it earlier, making money spends a lot. I mean, I don't guess there's any of us, I know most of us have sat around sometimes and talked about it, that one of the things that just drains the life out of you is worrying about your bills. And you understand, sometimes those bills couldn't be helped, right? Sometimes it was factors beyond your control. But a lot of times the bills that your consequences you're living with now are poor decisions, selfish decisions, immature decisions, wacko decisions in the past. And you're having to live the consequence of those decisions now. Now when you know better, you think, man, I know better. I won't ever do that again. But the debt is still there. And so it's what debt does. It mortgages your future. You know? A little payment each month. Oh, yeah. For the rest of your life. What do you worry about? What do you set your heart on?
Health.
And that can be if it's a traumatic, if it's a serious kind of illness, or as you get older. Every illness, what's this going to do? What's it going to do to my eyesight? What it's going to do to my hearing? What's it going to do to my overall ability to get around? Am I going to be able to keep driving? Am I going to be able to keep walking? Am I going to be able to keep living on my own? All kinds of things like that. What kind of things do you put your heart on? What keeps your mind? What earthly things keep your mind focused? Yeah, and sometimes it's just thrill seeking. Just, what do I want to do next? What are we going to do next? I'm bored. We did that last week. I don't want to do that again. I need to do something more exciting. And it happens not just when you're young, but you get in that pattern. That can affect even your marriages and your lifestyle as you get older. You get bored with things and you want something new and you want something different. Well, the Lord said it this way. I didn't write it, so if you want to blame me, it's okay. I agree with Jesus, so it's okay. But he said, don't set your mind on those things. Don't set your mind on those things. Now, the honest thing is, most of the things you mention are things that I struggle with, that my mind stays filled with all the time. That stuff about debt, that stuff about family situations, or that stuff about making money to pay off the debts, man, that drives me crazy sometimes. It just keeps me so focused on those kinds of things. But the Lord said, set your mind on things that are above, where Jesus is. So, I want you to take, it's part of the exercise, take a moment and tell me the one thing you look forward to the most. The one thing you look forward to the most about Jesus appearing. When he comes, he says, when he'll appear, we will appear with him in glory. What's the one thing you look forward to the most?
Rest.
What do you look forward to the most? I want to see him as he is. What do you look forward to the most?
I made it.
Yes, I made it.
He's calling me, I made it.
Yeah, you relax. You don't have to be on your guard anymore. No more temptations.
He's not going to bring up the things of the past.
Oh, man. Isn't that going to be a good one? He's not going to bring up things from the past. I don't ever have to answer for those silly, foolish, immature, selfish, hateful, horrible things I did. What else? What's the best thing about that moment when he appears? Peace from all those things we worried about. If you set your things on things that are above, what's the best thing? What's the best thing about it for you?
What we take for faith will be reality, and it will just solidify what the Word says.
Yeah. It's not about, it won't be just believing anymore. As strong as your faith may be, it won't be just believing anymore. What will it be? The Bible says it'll be sight, which means no doubts, no questions, no possibilities of ever even a hint of the maybe being wrong. You will see him as he is. Wait, when you think about things that are above, what's the best thing about that?
Being home.
And you say the word home, what immediately comes to your mind? When someone says about heaven, being home, there's some of us, okay, and I'm one of those, okay, I'm saying it now, but there's some of us in here that the thought of being home is there's nothing better, okay? And I'm telling you, in this world right now, you tell me, getting to be home, there's nothing better. You say it, I'm immediately at peace, I'm immediately, yes, crave it, ready, now. You know, don't wait. Hurry up. Now, others in here, when they think of home, doesn't give them that same kind of feeling. But for those of us who hear this and say, man, I'm going to get to be home, what comes to mind? Those of you who crave that thought, what comes to mind? Home. Your family.
Comfortable.
Home. Love, secure, home.
Familiar surroundings,
home. Peace, home.
My place.
I have a place at the table. I have a place that is my place. I have a place that is mine, nobody else's. Here's what the Lord said to us. Don't think about earthly things. Set your mind on the things that are above. The truth is, it was a lot simpler for us to list the things that we think about on the earth than it is to think about the things above. Why? Why? Because I see this. I live this. I feel this. I smell this. I taste this. I hear this. I experience this. And I haven't yet experienced that. That's why he said it. He said, set your mind on it. Which means you got to do what? To set your mind on something means you got to do what? You got to make a decision to do that. So you think about it. So that's what I want us to do, okay? That's what I want us to do. Hey, we got a prayer song? There you go. What is it? There you go. Let's sing it. One of the prayers that David prayed when he wanted to stop thinking about his earthly things was the things that he... heavenly thing? He was asking God to create in him a new heart. Maybe that's what we ought to pray today, right? We ought to get in our minds what God's going to do for us when we see Him on that day. Now, He's already started, but He's going to do it even better on that day. He's going to do it even more complete on that day. He's going to do it forever on that day. So let's sing His song as our prayer and then let's study. Renew a right spirit within me. Create in me a clean heart, O God. And renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, O Lord. And take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of my salvation and renew the right spirit within me.
Create in me
a clean heart, God, and renew a right spirit within me. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, O Lord, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of my salvation and renew a right spirit within me. It's the right prayer to have prayed before we begin this study. Look at verse 5. Do you see the word therefore? I want you to circle it. You read the word therefore, it always tells you to look at what went before. And He said, I want you to set your minds on things that are above. I want you to set your hearts on things where Jesus is. Don't put your mind on earthly things. We do it. We do it all the time. We keep our minds on earthly things. It leads us toward earthly things. We put our minds on heavenly things. It takes us toward heaven. But look at verse 5. Here's how He tells you to get started doing that. Verse 5. Put to death. Underline the phrase. Circle it. Mark it somehow. Put to death. Kill off whatever belongs to your earthly nature. Now, I didn't say it. I am no example of it. But I've been given a responsibility by God to repeat it and for us to learn it. And then I have to decide how I'm going to live it. Put to death whatever belongs to my earthly nature. Sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Verse 6, because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must rid yourself of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices. Now stop there. We have taken something off. We are to put it to death, right? Now, the fact that He said that tells me what? The fact that He tells me to put those things to death implies what? I heard a bunch of things at one time. We have to deal with those things. See, in church you don't always talk about these things. How are you today? Well, I'm filled with impurity. No, we never say that, right? Well, how are you today? Well, I've got rage and malice and slander on my tongue. We never say that. We never admit it, do we? When you come to church, how are you? Hi. I'm compassion, love, and all goodness in me. I mean, that's how, I mean, I'm glad we think like that. But when he says put it to death, he demands that we admit what? I've got issues with these things. Now, what else does that demand? That I have the ability. I just can't help it. It's just the way I am. And we've talked about it before. How we get into that. If there's a personal character flaw in us sometimes, and you're hot-headed, you got a temper, well, that's just the way I am. Can't help it. And sometimes we'll blame who for that? We'll blame our daddy. Well, that's the way my daddy was. And then we blame his daddy. Well, that's the way his daddy was. And who do we eventually blame? God made it like that. It couldn't help it. I'm just this way. And I've heard people even say it to their mates. I've heard people say it to people in church. Well, it's just, you're just going to have to accept me for the way I am. Now, I think we're going to have to learn. We've got to learn to accept each other. That's right. But when God says we better get to putting this to death, it means we better admit what? One, that we have an issue with it. Number two, we can do something about it. We can. Now, the phrase put to death is pretty extreme. Okay? The phrase put to death is pretty extreme. What do you think is the intention of the using the phrase put it to death?
Later.
Oh, good illustration. Don't take this and put it in a cage so that you can bring it out later and use it on somebody. Oh, I have an issue with rage, and I'm going to put it over here, and I'm going to control it until I need it. Sick him, rage. I mean, you turn that loose. But we do it, don't we? We do it. When we're in public, and then when we're with our family, what happens? It is possible. I've seen it happen. I've done it. You talk to somebody one way at church, and you get in a car and driving off, and you're talking to another way to your wife or to your kids. Has it ever happened? We have the ability to do something about it. And because we have the ability, that means God gives us the responsibility to do something about it. I think the significance of put it to death means you got to choke that sucker until it's over. You got to do whatever it takes to get that thing out of your life. Okay? Now let's take a look at some of these things. If that first list, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, those of us who know anything about addictive behavior, any of those of us who know anything about compulsive behavior, where we do things that our impulses cause us to do, or our lust cause us to do, or our impurities cause us to do, any of us that know anything about that know that you cannot just act like, oh, I'm sorry, it's over, I won't do that again. Because it'll come back. So what do you got to do? You got to put it to death. You know how you do that? You watch somebody go through AA. Watch them admit the weakness. Watch them. Watch them acknowledge the problem. Watch them then try and make atonement for it, amendment for it. So you watch them trying to work a program to change their lifestyle, and you'll know something about what it takes to put something to death. This old business of, well, I'm sorry, I won't ever do that again, so you got to forgive me now. No. This is not about forgiveness. This is about living like Jesus. He's coming for us. We ought to live like Him. So let's work the program. Let's find out whatever we got to do to stop these things and stop them. Right? Now, this is not He doesn't spend a lot of time here telling me how to do that. Now, of course, somebody will say, well, yes, He does. Because if you set your things on mind on things that are above, you won't ever be angry. Well, okay. But sometimes I can't keep my mind up there. And I have to still deal with anger. But I know there is a way. I know there is a way. God tried to teach Cain about how to deal with anger. God tried to teach Cain how to deal with that anger that led to murder. There are lessons in Scripture. And we need to study them. And we will. We'll get a chance to look at them. But the point of today is, there's some things in your life you need to get rid of. that we're going to come back to that. There's some, we're going to come back to that. And it's going to be our confession, our commitment. I've got a problem with this. I want to get rid of it. And then again, we're going to have to let God help us and then let each other help us. But I don't want you to miss the second part of this. Look in verse 10. There's some things you've taken off. There's some things you've put off. The things you put to death. But you don't just put off. You don't just take off. What do you do, verse 10? You put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge in the image of its creator. You put on a new self. Here there is no Greek, no Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Now, big circle around that last phrase. Because when it gets down to it, what really matters is being like Jesus. So you're going to do whatever you can do to get rid of, to take off, to put to death those things that cause us not to be like Jesus. And then you're going to put on the things that make us look more like Jesus, right? Now hang on a second. Have you ever known anybody that never did anything wrong? Now, everybody's done wrong. I know what you... But have you ever met somebody? They didn't have anything that ever done wrong. And it was their impression. I mean, serious. They took the impression they weren't ever going to do anything wrong. I've met a couple like folks like that, and they may be the most boring people in the history of the world. Because they're so against doing anything wrong, they never get around to doing anything right. You don't just take off, folks. You don't just put to death. You got to put on. You got to give life to some things. And look at the list. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved. Are you hearing him? People that have had trouble with immorality. People that have had trouble with impurity and lust and evil desires and greed. People that had trouble with anger and malice and rage and slander and filthy language. Now that would not imply to any of us here. But those people who did that, he says they are holy and dearly loved. Are you, can you be, in spite of what you have been, can you be, in spite of what you still deal with, can you be holy and dearly loved? Yes, we are holy and dearly loved. Are we holy because we do so much gooder than we used to do? I know it's better, but gooder sounded better to me then, all right? Is it because we do good? No, we are counted holy because Jesus reconciled us to the Father, and the Father said, I'm going to count you holy. Now he wants us to live up to that. Now look what he says to put on. Clothe yourselves. That's put on. Clothe yourselves with what? Compassion. Now folks, it's interesting. Compassion means, we've talked about this before, so you know this. Passion means what? Strong feelings. What does calm on compassion mean? Calm, common. Community, it means the same as. To have compassion means I look at you and I think, I wonder how she's feeling. I wonder how he's feeling. And I care about how you're feeling to the point that I want to treat you like I feel the same way. It's one of the powers. It's been one of the powers of AA for years. Somebody stands up and says, man, I'm an alcoholic. Not an easy statement to make. And then everybody else says, me too. Everybody in the room accepts them because they've been there. That's what compassion is. Compassion is looking at you. And even if I don't have the problem, I have the same feeling for you as if I have that problem. Make sense? Jesus was the most compassionate of us all. He didn't have any of those problems we have, but did he understand the suffering of temptation? Yes, he did. So he felt. Does Jesus know what it's like? Let's go through some of the things we talked about before. Does Jesus care about us if he knows we're worried? He found some disciples in a boat one time that were afraid. Did he take care of them? Does he care if we're worried about our families? Did you know his own family had tension? Does he care about us if we grieve the loss of people we love? Yeah, he looked at a woman who had lost her only son, a widow who had lost her only son, and see, he was moved with compassion. We need to put on compassion. I need to start thinking, instead of me and what I want, and be honest, where does all this other stuff, where does all the impurity, immorality, lust, greed, anger, malice, slander, where is it all rooted? What is it all rooted in? Selfishness. I want my way, and I want it right now. I want to do what I want to, when I want to, how I want to, right now. But he says, stop being selfish. Be compassionate. Start thinking about other people. What does my wife need to hear from me? What does my husband need to hear from me? What is my best friend? What is my worst enemy? What does my person in church that I've not even met them, but I've seen them, and I know I'm supposed to know their name, and I'm embarrassed because I can't remember the name, so I don't talk to them at all on Sunday. What could they use for me? Did you hear all that? Put on compassion. How about kindness? Now, real quick, what does kindness mean? Caring. What's kindness mean? I love that. The best definition I think of ever. I heard a little kid say, it says, be nice. Be nice to people. It's okay to be nice to people. If you don't know them, you can still be nice. You don't like the way they look, you can still be nice. You don't like how they talk, you can still be nice. They disagree with you about something, you can still be nice. You think they've done you wrong, you can still be nice. Be compassionate. Be nice. Humility, gentleness, patience. Now look at this next phrase. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Well, you just don't understand. You don't understand what she said about me. You don't understand what she did about me, or he did to me. You just don't understand. I may not understand, but does Jesus understand? Did folks do some things to him? Is it possible to be like Jesus and just to let it go? Yeah. Now, is that easy? It's about as easy to put some of these things on as it is easy to put to death some of those other things. It's going to take some work. Because you start trying to slip into your compassion. You start trying to slip into your Jesus suit. And what happens? Ever getting dressed, did you ever miss a belt loop? Did you ever get your arm ever stuck in the wrong thing? You know, you ever have those kind of troubles? You put on a Jesus suit, it's the same way. You're going to get some things out of whack. Sometimes you're going to forget the button. You're going to forget a belt loop. You're going to forget the zip. Jesus, putting on Jesus suit, it's going to take some effort. Look what he says. You put these things on, at verse 14, and over all these virtues... Over all these virtues, okay? Underline it. Over all these virtues, compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, above all these virtues, put on love. So you don't get your Jesus suit on completely until you put on love. Which binds them all together in perfect unity. Okay, now here's what he said then. If I'm going to live in this world while I'm waiting for the next one, two things I got to do. I got to put off some things. There's some things I got to stop. Okay? There's some things I got to stop. You've done it before. You used to bite your fingernails, but you stopped. You used to say dirty words around people, but you stopped. You used to drink, but you stopped. You used to lie to people, but you stopped. You know how to do that. You've done it. There are things that you used to do that you stopped. There are some things we need to stop. But there are also some things we need to start. There are some things we need to start. We need to get started on being like Jesus. Now, look what happens. Verse 15. The peace of Christ rules in your heart. Since you're members of one body, you were called to peace, and you be thankful. The peace of Christ means, well, we talk about it a lot, one of the classes we've had before. Peace means Jesus won. That's how you get peace in any war. Somebody wins, right? If there's never a victory, if there's never a surrender of the enemy, is there ever peace? No, there's a truce, but it's not ever peace. Because they always keep some army on that side of the line and army on this side of the line. If you let the peace of Jesus rule in your heart, that means who wins? Let Jesus win. Let Jesus win about those things in your heart that make you angry. Let Jesus win. Let Him vote. Let Him fight. Let Him win. Well, I don't like that fella, and I want to give him a piece of my mind. And let Jesus win. Jesus says, yeah, bear with one another. Be kind. Yeah, but you don't understand. I've got to say something. You do? Why do you have to say something? When they were saying the horrible things about Jesus, did he say anything? Is it possible not to say horrible things back to somebody who's saying horrible things to you? Yes. Is it possible to leave those things alone? Yes. Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. Let Him win. Look at this. Be thankful. Be thankful. We get so focused on the things that we don't like. We get so focused on the things that we don't have. We get so focused on the things that we don't get, we forget to just be thankful for what we do have. Just start trying it some. Just start to be thankful. Be thankful for what you have. Look what he says. Let Jesus win. Be thankful. Verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your heart to God. He just gave us a hint, just gave us a pretty good clue as to how to start putting to death some, putting off some things and putting on the good things. And that's let the word of God come into your heart. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Folks, that means you got to spend some time reading it. You can't spend all your time listening to music that's got hateful, anger, malice, slander in it, and then think that you can be a person who's at peace with Christ. You can't listen to gossip and slander and cussing and fussing and discussing all the time and let your heart set be on things that are above. Let the word of Christ dwell in your heart. Get that word in you. So one, let Jesus win in those decisions. Number two, be thankful for what you have. Number three, get God's word in you. And number four, verse 17. And whatever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Simply put, and then I'll hush. Whatever you've got to do, whatever you've got to do, if you're dealing with your own life, okay, your own self, your own habits, treat yourself like Jesus would treat you. Whatever you're going to do for yourself, do it to the name of the, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Do it to His glory. Do it with His intention. Treat yourself like Jesus would want you treated. Now, folks, that's going to mean something about the things you put in your body, some things you do with your body. Let Jesus make that decision, right? It means, hey, this is how you treat folks in your family. I wake up, I got to deal with me, but then I got to deal with family. That's how you treat family. You do things, whatever you do, you do it to the in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You do it to His glory. You do it for His intent. Intending to please Him. You want to treat people like Jesus would. But you don't understand. My wife does not understand me. My husband just doesn't understand me. I got you. I understand. But I'm telling you, Jesus will teach you how to treat her or treat him regardless of how they treat you. And then what, I got to go to work. I got to deal with people at work or people out in the community or people in the public. Same thing. Whatever you do, do it like you're doing it for Jesus. Do it with the intention of pleasing Jesus. And I'll watch some things change in my life. I'll see some habits that I've had in the past drop off. Because I don't think you ever saw Jesus say filthy words or do filthy things. and I'll see good things start to develop in my life. I'll see compassion and kindness and patience, because that's the way Jesus lived his life. All right, let's tie it together. I want to be with him. I want to be with him. To get ready for him when he comes, there's some stuff I got to put off. Got a whole long list I need to work on. There's some things I got to put on. A whole long list I got to work on. And when it all gets, when I'm working on that process, I'm going to try four things. I'm going to try four things. First thing I'm going to do is, I'm going to let Christ win in my life. I'm going to let him make the decision. I'm not going to treat people like I think they've treated me. I'm going to treat people like Jesus wanted them treated. Number two, I'm going to be thankful. I'm going to start thinking of all the things I do have that God has given me, and not what I don't have and not what I don't want or don't get. I'm going to also then, I'm going to put his word in my heart. And I'm going to let it dwell in there richly. Get in the habit of letting his words fill your heart. Now, I love Bible reading. I love Bible reading. And it's a good thing to do, and you should keep doing it. But right now, be real honest. You read Leviticus, it's not going to help you much with being kind to your neighbor. It may cause you want to sacrifice their dog. It may want to cause you to have a burnt offering of their yard. No. The words of Christ, those words written in that new covenant, a new covenant that's based on love, a new covenant that's based on forgiveness, a new covenant that's based on compassion and acceptance and forgiveness. That's the you put those words in your heart. And let Jesus win in those situations. Be thankful for all the good things he's given you. His word lives in you. And then whatever you do, do it like you're doing it for Jesus. I have seen it, heard it in this room. Not pointing fingers, because I've seen it also in my own life. I've seen and heard us sometimes to discuss, well, if she's going to do that to me, then I'm going to do this to her. If he's going to say that to me, then I'm going to say this to him. If I start trying to be like Jesus, I stop that. I break that cycle. Because if I treat you like you treat me, that makes you in charge of me. Right? If I treat you like you treat me, that makes you in charge of me. You're not in charge of me. Jesus is. And I'm going to do it the way Jesus wants it done. I'm going to try. So you start to treat people like Jesus wants them treated, whether they treat you that way or not. It'll change your heart. It'll change your family. It'll change your life. And you'll have... you'll be ready when he comes to appear with him in glory.